On the first day of this National Poetry Month, poet laureate Robert Pinsky launched his favorite poem project. His goal is to create an audio and video archive of people from all walks of life reading aloud their favorite poems. We broadcast an excerpt of the kickoff event last week. As part of our National Poetry Month festivities, we're going to feature poet laureate Robert Pinsky reading one of his favorite poems and one of his own poems. His latest collection of poems is called The Figured Wheel. A few years ago, he was on the bestseller list for his translation of Dante's Inferno. When we spoke last September, Pinsky brought a favorite poem by Robert Frost. I asked Pinsky why it's a favorite.
I think it just sounds ravishing. It's like your favorite Coltrane record or your favorite Schnabel performance. I think it just sounds great as a poem. And I guess I also like the way it's about, I'm not in my first blush of youth. I like the way the poem is about a sensibility that both changes over a long time and in other ways stays the same.
You want to read it?
To Earthward. Love at the lips was touch as sweet as I could bear. And once that seemed too much, I lived on air that crossed me from sweet things, the flow of, was it musk from hidden grapevine springs downhill at dusk? I had the swirl and ache from sprays of honeysuckle that when they're gathered shake dew on the knuckle. I craved strong sweets, but those seemed strong when I was young. The petal of the rose it was that stung. Now, no joy but lacks salt that is not dashed with pain and weariness and fault. I crave the stain of tears, the aftermark of almost too much love, the sweet of bitter bark and burning clove. When stiff and sore and scarred, I take away my hand from leaning on it hard in grass and sand. The hurt is not enough. I long for weight and strength to feel the earth as rough to all my length.
That's really wonderful. Now, that's got a rhyme scheme to it. Talk to me a little bit about reading that poem so that the rhyme doesn't become sing-song, so that the rhyme sounds but isn't made too much of.
When the grammar keeps going at the end of a line, your voice should keep going. When the grammar stops at the end of the line, then your voice stops.
Maybe you can give an
example. Let's take an example.
Yeah, good. Yeah. There we go.
If I say, I had the swirl and ache from sprays of honeysuckle that when they're gathered shake dew on the knuckle, nobody misses the rhymes. You hear it, and I had the swirl and ache from sprays of honeysuckle that when they're gathered shake dew on the knuckle. And part of the pleasure is hearing that sentence snake through the rhymes and reach to where it's going. If you say, I had the swirl and ache from sprays of honeysuckle that when they're gathered, shake, do on the knuckle. That's what killed poetry.
Yeah.
that's not that killed rhyme. You know.
Oh yeah.
So I think it's probably the most important advice I could give anybody about poetry is when the sentence keeps going, your voice should keep going.
Now you had to do a lot of intricate rhyming yourself when you translated Dante's Inferno, and that actually became a bestseller in 1994, I think shocking everybody. But there's a very intricate rhyme scheme that you had to maintain there. What was the rhyme scheme?
It's called terza rima, and Dante invented it for the Commedia. It didn't even exist before. And it's these three-line stanzas where the outside two, the first and third lines, rhyme. And then the middle line tells you what the outside rhyme is going to be for the next stanza. And it's good for a narrative, as he was writing, because everything is kind of linked, but it can still sound quite musical and even kind of clinching like couplets.
Would you recite a passage from your translation?
Okay. From memory. Day was departing, and the darkening air called all Earth's creatures to their evening quiet, while I alone was preparing as though for war to struggle with my journey and with the spirit of pity which flawless memory will redraw. O muses, O genius of art, O memory whose merit has inscribed inwardly those things I saw, help me fulfill the perfection of your nature.
Like that. Let me ask you, when you're dealing with rhyme, how much are you willing to deal with something more like harmony rather than rhyme exactly?
That's it. That's what you do. As I say, thinking about end rhyme isn't the only thing. There's a wonderful sentence in Frost's unrhymed poem, An Old Man's Winter Night, where he says, "A light who was to no one but himself, where now he sat, a quiet light, and then not even that." Well, those T's go off beautifully. A light he was to no one but himself, where now he sat, concerned with he knew what, a quiet light, and then not even that. And it's not in rhyme, they're not end rhymes. The what and the at and the quiet and the light. A light he was to know himself, no one but himself, where now he sat, concerned with he knew what, a quiet light, and then not even that. Is that rhyme? I don't know. It's a degree of likeness that's very taking in the poem.
While we're talking about rhyme, I want you to read a short poem of yours that has rhymes within, and it's called An Old Man. Can you talk with us before reading it about why you wanted this to rhyme?
Well, it's only sort of by me. It's based on my reading of translations of Constantine Cavafy's poem, An Old Man, a poem I loved in translation for many years, and I knew from reading the notes in the Sheridan Keeley and in the Ray Dalvin translations that it was in a very complicated rhyme scheme. And one day I got the notion I could do it. I call it An Old Man after Cavafy, and it's pretty close to what Cavafy wrote, but I can't read Greek. It's, you know, it's my poem based on the translations. I don't know whether to call it a translation or a poem. An Old Man after Cavafy. Back in a corner, alone in the clatter and babble, an old man sits with his head bent over a table and his newspaper in front of him in the cafe. Sour with old age, he ponders a dreary truth. How little he enjoyed the years when he had youth, good looks and strength and clever things to say. He knows he's quite old now. He feels it. He sees it. And yet the time when he was young seems, was it yesterday? How quickly it slipped away. Now he sees how discretion has betrayed him and how stupidly he let the liar persuade him with phrases. Tomorrow, there's plenty of time. Someday. He recalls the pull of impulses he suppressed, the joy he sacrificed. Every chance he lost ridicules his brainless prudence a different way. But all these thoughts and memories have made the old man dizzy. He falls asleep, his head resting on the table in the noisy cafe.
Poet laureate Robert Pinsky reading An Old Man. His latest collection of poems is called The Figured Wheel. Our interview was recorded last September.